All right. At 8:43, let's call this meeting to order. We have a roll call, please.
Okay. Michael Benson.
Present.
Stephen Konselman.
Here.
Robert Gadol.
Here.
Eric Sturgis. He's not here. Luann Bullington. Luann is also absent.
Okay, we have a quorum. Thank you very much. You should have, and thank you all for coming. You should have a copy of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Steve, seconded by Rob. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, it's approved. Move into public commentary. Would anyone like to address the task at board at this point?
I will.
Go ahead.
All right. I got three questions. I wrote them down, so I will make a real brief. I have questions. About getting the Uber and Lyft, are they legal or not legal? Just a simple question. Are they
so
legal?
This is public commentary. This is a time for the public to address the board. We're not going to respond. So this is a time for you to...
It's not a Q&A.
Right.
Okay. So, okay then. I had questions. All three minor questions. I just want to know, Uber and Lyft are out there every night stealing everything at nighttime in front of scorekeepers. I've talked to a couple of officers. They had no idea that I have a copy of the cease and desist order. I have it with me, so my cab. But they are doing nothing. And they're telling me that they had no idea that the cease and desist order was even in effect. I had a lady officer tell me that on Tuesday, and they're dropping off like it's water. It's getting really, really, really bad. And I'm hoping that something can be done soon, because if not, I've heard some of the taxi cab drivers say they're thinking about going Uber and Lyft because they can't survive out here paying leases and everything because they're not making it. So, I mean, I'm out there every night, almost every night. So I know... I talk to people, I know things, and I just would like to know from the taxi cab board maybe what is going to be done about this problem. That's it. That's all I want to know.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I'm Linda Evans. I'm the chairperson for the Ann Arbor Commission on Disability Issues. So I'm here on a disability aspect. I'd just like to say that when you're thinking of your safety for passengers in your new ordinance, that people with disabilities have a little bit more detail to safety needs. So I'd like to bring up maybe putting in some type of disability sensitivity training for drivers if they have to register within Ann Arbor. Also the needs of the passengers, so they have to have so many vehicles that are accessible, fully accessible, to take wheelchairs, and then some type of, I don't know what you would call it, sometimes I forget my words because of one of my disabilities, some type of like discipline, I forget the other word, when they say, no, we're not going to take you because you have a dog. I've heard around the country that sometimes this has happened with these type of companies. So there's got to be some type of reaction for these negative things that are happening with the Uber and Lyft type companies. I've talked to Michael last night and understand a little bit more about what the ordinance is going to look like, and I fully approve right now, and I think the commission will too, what you're doing, the steps you're going to be taking. So I just wanted to put in there the aspects of disability. There's a little more detail that you guys probably haven't thought of. Because who sits there and thinks while you're writing an ordinance, what's going to protect the disability community? So I just wanted to, if you have any questions, you need any help, please come to our commission. We do meet the third Wednesday of every month right here next door at 3:15. Our meeting starts. So anybody wants to come to our meeting and say anything or wants to contact me, you can contact me through Amy Sievitt, Seavitt. She's our city liaison.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Rick?
to address this young lady, one of this young lady's concern. Somebody has a problem with a dog. Call Amazing Blue. We're the most dog-friendly company in town.
I'm sorry?
Call Amazing Blue. We're the most dog-friendly in town.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a problem with the other services. Yellow Car, Amazing Blue, Blue Cab, nobody else.
Again, we can only...
Well, okay. another point. In the non-metered vehicle, you might want to put in a... another exemption here, and that would be for the non-emergency medical transportation. People who are in wheelchairs and things of the sort, there's more than one company in town that, or in the area that offers that service. And, you know, the people out there, they have wheelchair vans. I mean, you know, the students aren't trying to jump into them and things of the sort. That's what you're actually going for here. And also, the third thing is I have some additional proposals to add into the non-metered vehicle ordinance, and I gave one to every member of the board, because I don't believe I gave one to Tom.
I can see Rex.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board?
Yes. I do. First of all, do you have a spare copy for others?
What, that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I noticed the two proposed amendments to the council. This is Mark Lesarge from Select Drive, by the way. One addresses the deregulation of the meter rates. The other addresses qualifying the drivers of both cabs and non-metered vehicles for hire, using your phraseology. In the previous meetings, we've also talked about validating that the vehicle has been properly registered and is properly insured. I don't see that covered in these proposed ordinances, and I think that would be a dereliction of duty to avoid, is the vehicle properly licensed and insured, because that is what the passenger is being held liable to in the event of accidents and injuries, etc. So I don't know if the proposal will be followed through on that.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board under this public comment? See no one. We'll move into old business. We have minutes from our last meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Steve, seconded by Rob. I would ask, I just note in looking through them, we switch form a little bit. Sometimes it's a bit more formal, Mr. Benson this. Later in the minutes, it goes to Michael Benson. So just, you know, I would ask that going forward, just keep it consistent one or the other.
Yeah, I tried. Where do you see that? Because I went apparently missed something. Oh, I see one.
Okay. This was actually the version we got yesterday, so this version might actually have been caught. So, just,
I do have corrections also.
Okay.
Kristen Larkin was not at the meeting, and I have her in attendance. I wasn't here either, so...
I was in Iowa, so I doubt it.
Sure.
Oh, great.
Okay. Given that, other changes, corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving them as will be amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Approved?
I'm sorry, who was my first and second?
I was
first and second.
Okay, thanks.
Really, today the options are rather limited. All right, we'll move into a couple of new business items. First, our review draft ordinance for deregulating rates, which I think we should have. This is something, if you look at the minutes, we asked to have, Steve made the motion to have language brought forward so we could tweak the rates. This is certainly something to that effect, although it wasn't exactly what I was looking for personally. But I look forward to, let's discuss this, see if it might be something we want to work from, and move forward with that. Given that we do have a whole lot to get through today, and I don't want to rush things, but I'm hoping we might be able to limit ourselves to about 15 minutes on this topic today, and we can move on to the next topic. So with that said, Steve.
Actually, I'd like to have staff just kind of give us a summary of what it is that the intent was. So Is that you, Kristen, or is that Tom, or is that...
So a summary of...
Of what it is that the proposed amendments do.
My understanding was that there was a desire to deregulate rates, and that is what I was trying to draft with the understanding that it may completely answer what the board wanted to do, and it's merely a draft.
Yes.
So let me expound on that just a little bit. So what we picked up from, we thought the interest of the last meeting, we kind of covered the kind of the way we thought it could work. The rates that a company would want to charge would be brought to the police department. The meter would be certified at that rate at their normal annual review. They would have the ability to make one rate change during the year. If they chose to, with a 30-day notice, that basically is necessary administratively to schedule any things. There would be a yet-to-be-determined fee, but it would be... We need to look for fees. I'm not looking for a major change on that, but the administration of this by the company would be that they would have to publicize whatever their rate is on their vehicle, and we ended up on the rear passenger door on both sides in numbers and letters not less than 1 inch in height, that any advertisement that they did would have to be consistent with their rates, and that there'd be a rate card in the vehicle posted so that people could see it while they're driving as well. Thinking those are the major aspects of...
Okay. So this body would not be setting a maximum rate, and then all companies could set lower or charge lower rates. Is that kind of how it's worded? I mean,
that it can be changed.
I don't.
We did not put in maximum rates. No.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So this body would actually have no setting of rates. It would be the market. The companies would decide, and then they would have to figure out how they're going to compete with each other. Because then they would have to figure out who is charging more than, you know, which I think could be really kind of strange, but. Because right now I think most of the companies are benchmarking their rates compared to what the city sets. Does that seem reasonable, understanding? I mean, I don't want to talk to the livery drivers, but...
We would have to talk to them.
Okay.
All right. And actually, it is council, I believe, that sets the rates.
Right.
Okay.
So council as a body then would be out of the rate-setting business.
That's the way this is written. Okay. Yes, that's open to debate.
So, just for clarification on that, so I understand, did this allow companies for us to have a set rate that some companies could choose to still operate under, and those that don't want to operate could operate under an unregulated, or does it just unregulate all of them? Do you call?
It unregulates all of them.
I was thinking it was all of them.
Okay. I mean, at the same point, this body of the council could easily recommend rates, I suppose, but it wouldn't, you know, if this is approved as is, it would just be a suggestion. Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, I think, you know, from my standpoint, I think there needs to be some sort of maximum rate setting, because this whole issue of surge pricing isn't taken into account for in this ordinance, and I think that's one of the things that's really...
Well, so surge would not be possible under this ordinance, because they can only change their rates once a year. If they did change it, they would have to keep it the rest of the year.
So this wouldn't do anything then, regardless if we deregulate rates, it does nothing to affect Uber or Lyft type pricing policies.
Correct.
Okay. So that
I mean, they're not presently covered by any...
Anything, right. But we're going to get them somewhat covered, I think, at some point. Right.
Hopefully the next item on the agenda.
Okay, so I have that kind of understanding. I have to chew on that one. I don't want to talk to the livery drivers and have that discussion, because otherwise it'll go way over 15 minutes. But I certainly am going to want to be interested in hearing what some of the businesses would be, what they think of this, before we have the public comment part, public hearing.
Rob?
Okay. I guess this does also look a little different than I thought in terms of its complete deregulation. I guess I'm more interested in deregulation, where we're just setting a very high cap still, if nothing else, just because that seems to be something that's slightly easier to back off of if it turns out not to work out very well for us. Whereas this would involve completely redoing the resolution again to give us back the power to do that and then setting a new rate. And it seems to me like changing a rate to just be high enough to effectively offer deregulation for a short window, like the next few years.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying where it allows them to charge any rate that would be modified to say any rate, they could choose any rate less than a rate, a maximum rate established by the council.
I think it's still relevant even to doing that to have the rest of this rate information stuff standardized. So since people will be offering distinctly different rates, that we make sure that that's mm-hmm. very accessible to the consumer. So in terms of the rest of the language, I think that's reasonable. I guess I have mild concern that one rate change per year may not be enough. I don't imagine there's probably many more that you need to be effective, but just given the ebb and flow of students during the year and things, maybe I could imagine 2 to 3 even being reasonable without allowing for surge-like pricing or problems like that. Like I said, it takes a while to get the rates changed, so I don't think it's a huge risk.
I would jump in too and just say, I'll kind of echo what both Steve and Rob have said, and just add on to it too. I think this is a good start, and we can tweak as we go forward to get more in line what we want. I do have the concern, though, one of the things we did ask for, both in this ordinance change and the next one, are more teeth to allow the police to really enforce the policy. And I don't really see that. So if you look in the deception of passengers, for example, there's nothing here about, well, what happens if you're pretending to be a taxi. I've seen a number of limos parked, well, running just at the edge of a taxi stand and all over the city. And that's problematic. They are pretending to be a taxi. Folks will get in. Yes, they're violating the ordinance in other ways, but deception of passengers and the public, I think, is something we might want to look into as well. Simply because,
so I would just point out that would be different if they regulated rates.
It would be. Yes. No, I know. It's a macro point, I suppose. Okay.
We did try to address that point as we looked at the next item.
Okay. So we'll come back to that. Just then one other thing to note, or two things. It's the triple ATA now, so in item 8 on the back of the first page. So we should add in, I guess, area. and I do have a question.
It's triple ATA.
Okay. As far as the suspension, given that the rates would be deregulated in the new sections, I'm not quite sure what the role of the board would be other than to approve new companies coming in. And that's it. There's no real appeal insofar as the rates are concerned. I suppose if we keep this as 1 or 2 rate changes allowed per year, the board could be asked to waive that for if they wanted an additional one. But perhaps
the board has never really had a role on rates except to recommend changes. As far as an appeal or something, that's, we just recommend changes. I mean, we've traditionally had the role of our company license, vehicle license, driver licenses, and then the safety thing and establishing but I'm not aware that we've taken really
sure.
formally
that's
appeals.
Fine.
I'm not quite sure what you're... I'm not fully understanding what you're thinking.
Well, not an appeal, but let's say this passes as is, and companies can change the rates once.
Okay.
Perhaps the board could have a role in saying, well, we'd like to change our rates again. And there would be a cost associated with this too. With the changes, the company would have to change all their signs, signage on their vehicles.
Yeah, let me be clear, the way this is written is there is no role for the board in the rates after this.
That's fine.
You might set a cap, but they would interact directly with the police to have the certification changes. Do their advertising, the board would not have to approve anything. And one time a year was chosen because of the administrative, our ability to administrative support more than
that. Makes good sense.
We charge a fee for that company to come in and change their rates.
Yeah. Okay. Then I guess the last piece would be this not only would it deregulate the rates, but also would allow for, as Steve was saying, in some sense, surge pricing if that's a part of the rate structure. So, for example, if when they come in May, and say, if a company comes in May and says, well, from 6 p.m. to, I don't know, 3 a.m., we're going to bump the flag by $1. and we'll put it on the vehicle. It'll be on the rate card, but this is what we're doing. So that would actually, I'm not sure if it'd be precisely surge pricing, but it would allow for
that brings up a good point. This actually, on the first page, 7.3 says that the rate card would clearly indicated, posted. Where do we put that? Because we were going to actually make the standard rate card. I can't remember whether we're doing that by regulation or whether we're doing it in here. But our intent is certainly that we would have a standard form.
And then they would fill it in. Yeah. They would fill in what those rate changes would be, because different companies can charge different rates, and that'd be very cumbersome upon staff to try to guess what their rates are going to be in that. So the rate card, they would actually, it'd be a standardized form that they would fill in what rates they're going to be charging and turn it in as part of, like, a reinspection packet. So that, you know, I would know ahead of time what they're supposed to be charging.
Is it possible that, I mean, in terms of what, I think we had this discussion before about peak and non-peak time, and that right. would be the difference. So I guess that doesn't necessarily have to be in the ordinance, but it seems like it would be allowable the way it's...
The rate card format
could have that. So, but we could set the hours of what peak and non-peak time are. So
if you wanted to have that. We haven't really.
Yeah, I think we should try to go in that direction.
Peak and non-peak, I'm not quite sure.
I think that's what we heard in part of deregulation. I think that's what I understood Austin was doing, City of Austin, that they had bar time hours that were higher rates. And that seems reasonable because that seems to be what's driving a lot of the business in this community.
Well, it is, but as we get to the next topic, you actually have a lot of lower charging firms coming in at our peak times.
Right.
So
right.
the surge pricing or at peak time pricing again, not work in that situation.
This, if we did it, though, it would enable companies to try it if they wanted to. And again, that doesn't mean that a surge price necessarily has to be the same, different from.
So I think we can handle that with the
isn't these points. Lower cost, these people that are cheating by not paying the higher rates of insurance are coming in and trying to undercut, you know, the rates, but they're still charging more when they say they're surge pricing when there's a game and things like that. All right, so this would still allow, I think, the businesses, you know, to at least have a higher, you know, to be able to negotiate that from a high rate down, but we would even give them a higher rate within the peak bar time hours or football games. I mean, and I think that could be somewhat, you know, clarified within the ordinance. Because I think clearly what's happening is that Uber and Lyft are benchmarking everything according to what we set. All right? I mean, they have the different services. It's their low-cost, low-ball service that is the one that's not paying the proper insurance, not doing other things. But if they're hiring limos and other companies that are legit, they're benchmarking by what we're allowing to be charged. So I just want to give that kind of framework, I think, is what's important, at least in this. So that we understand that there's peak times, that they can charge a little bit more. There's base time or base fees or base rates, and then there's a flat rate that they can charge to go to the airport. All right. And then that, you know, becomes the rate. And they can charge less in order to compete with the low ballers, but clearly they don't have to.
So the question I'd have on that is, would you want that in the ordinance or by regulation? Because as I read the ordinances exist, plus the change out that they change it, mm-hmm. we could adopt a regulation for how we want the rate card to...
Yeah, I think the ordinance should have the lines of what the rate card sure. is going to have. All right, so that should be in the ordinance. There's no ambiguity.
Sure.
Can we do that?
Okay. Anything further on this today? Sorry, this is time for the board only.
Oh, okay.
There will be a public commentary at the end, though. All right. With that said, how would you like to proceed? We can vote on this.
Just so I'll make a motion that staff redraft the deregulation amendments, deregulation of taxi cab fares and rates per board discussion and consult with board members if needed.
And that includes, I heard the items you just mentioned, the base, peak, flat, in the code, and we'll make sure that the form is clarified in regulation. Rob, you had, did I miss something? Or does your motion include the maximum rate as well?
Yeah.
I'll second that. Yeah.
No. Okay.
So we should vote.
Yeah.
So we're gonna vote.
I guess I'm not clear on the motion. You added something.
It was
maximum.
Mr. Huntsman's comments were that he wanted the essence of the conversation to be incorporated in a revised draft, and the elements that I heard were to include in the ordinance language that includes the rate card, including base, peak, and flat rates, that the rate card would be defined by regulation, and that the a maximum rate established by council would be continue to be established, which is and that's what we're taking right. away.
Yep,
that's okay.
That's your motion.
That's the motion. And it's second.
You've got it all on tape. Two places.
Just wanted to make sure.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Excellent. And again, we thank staff for their diligent work on this. We'll look forward to seeing a new draft as soon as possible. Perfect timing. We'll move on now to the review draft ordinance requiring registration of all livery drivers. Start this off and just note, as Ms. Evans pointed out, we did meet last night. I think we had a very productive meeting. And I think we'll certainly look for some feedback on this from the commission as well as the public at large, both at this stage and hopefully if we do send something along to council during the public hearing that they would hold. I'm curious, as we dive in, Rick mentioned non-emergency medical transport as something potentially to add in. I'm curious if anyone knows, are they licensed, registered, or how does that
They're work? Licensed with the state.
Yeah.
They're licensed with
the
state.
They have a limo sticker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if they have a limo sticker?
Yeah.
Well, then a limo.
They're a limo. Oh, but you want, okay, then you're suggesting
what I'm
It's six of it. Exactly.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, an exemption because, you know
what I mean? So I personally would support that.
Yeah. You're opening up a real can of worms otherwise. Yeah.
I'd also note Rick has provided the board with some suggested amendments. I really appreciate these. And for those that don't have a copy, just read them briefly so you can all know what we're talking about. Non-metered vehicles for hire shall not carry a roof light. Non-metered vehicles for hire shall not be permitted to wait at taxi cab stands or solicit or to cruise for passengers upon streets and highways of the city of Ann Arbor. Then the separate piece, distance requirements and time limitations at certain public places. Non-metered vehicles for hire are prohibited from parking or standing within 500 feet of any hotel, motel, theater, hall, public resort, bus station, railway station, airport, restaurant, dormitory, shopping center, or other places of public gathering. When a non-metered vehicle for hire is engaged for hire by requisite prior arrangement, the driver of such vehicle for hire may park or stand less than 500 feet away from any hotel, motel, theater, etc. The list. But the waiting time for such pickup shall not exceed 15 minutes. So we'll thank you for submitting that language. And with that, board discussion.
Quite a bit to chew on here. So again, I'll ask staff to see if they can just kind of give us a quick summary of what the intent was and to report out on any conversations that have happened either at the state level or with Detroit to understand what other communities are doing to deal with non-metered vehicle for hires.
Okay, I'll try to do that. well, first of all, right now, as everybody knows, the taxi cab ordinance applies only to taxi cabs, and taxi cabs are defined as vehicles that have meters. And you can't be both metered vehicle, taxi cab, and a limo at the same time. So what I did was I used the term non-metered vehicle for hire, which any vehicle for hire is either metered or non-metered. So if there's a better term, just let me know that you would rather use. And then pretty much So there's a new section, required registration of operator of non-metered vehicle. And what we had understood is that we didn't want any regulation of the vehicle, and I'll get to that in a minute. But pretty much everything that I have here, and it's just a suggestion, registration was the term used, maybe there's a better term, and use of a registration decal so that just as with taxicabs, you can see, is this licensed or in this case registered? And I think pretty much I just used all of the same requirements as for a taxicab driver. I believe pretty much tracks that. I believe it does make it clear, among other things, that it requires having a chauffeur's license. And if you're picking up passengers for hire, which everybody who doesn't have who's picking them up without a meter would have to have a chauffeur's license. So I believe that would cover Lyft and Uber. And I'm not sure it's actually necessary for us to have that in the ordinance. I don't know that they agree, but state law, I think, requires that. And then in terms of vehicle, we did not put that in there because we understood that you just wanted the drivers. But if they are considered limos, and if you look at the definition of limo, it does seem to cover them, then that is what the state regulates, really, isn't the driver, but the vehicle. And they are required to have inspections and all that. So one suggestion, I don't think I did put this in here, but you may want that part of this is that they have the certificate from the
state.
From the state, because that would then indicate that they're in compliance.
How frequently do limos have to be inspected?
Once a year. Okay. And that's it takes place in March.
Sure.
And do they go up to the state, or do they have to just turn in some sort of documentation that somebody inspected it, like a mechanic?
It's simple. The same way with the same for the city. Certified master mechanic signs off on an inspection sheet similar to the one that the city has, okay. And that's submitted to the state, and the state does check.
Yeah, and they also have to have turn the insurance, and we have to turn registration. I'm a limo company, so just adding that to that. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So great. Yes, this is definitely going in the direction that I think we wanted to go, and to start making sure that these drivers are registered. And I agree that the idea of trying to duplicate what the state is doing under the Limousine Act doesn't necessarily have to be duplicated here. The question is, if we were to adopt this registration and a Uber or Lyft car that shows themselves to be a Uber or Lyft by either their little dashboard light or their pink mustache, when a police officer pulls them over, and to by noticing that the driver doesn't have, or the vehicle doesn't have the registration of a registered driver under the city ordinance, that officer can also ask for the documentation that the vehicle is properly licensed by the state Limousine
yes.
Act.
Yes.
Okay. And can the officer issue a ticket to that driver if they're not properly licensed under the Limousine Act? Okay.
Yes. What this would enable, by having a decal on the vehicle that denotes that the driver is registered with the city, if no decal is visible, then that gives primary cause for officers to be able to stop them for enforcement purposes underneath our ordinance. And any subsequent violations that are found out, in conjunction with that stop, can also be cited.
Okay, great.
Because right now, licensing is a secondary offense. We'd have to have a primary offense for being able to stop them. And again, that decal, them having a decal showing that they are registered with the city as a driver, okay, would provide us with a primary offense to stop.
And so, and another question is, when they would come in to be registered as a driver, do we know what vehicles, or can we ask what vehicle they're using? I mean, can we ask to see that they're properly insured? I don't know how the insurance industry works on this, but I would assume that the industry is issuing a license or insurance certificate to the vehicle as being licensed or as for limousine service, just as we ask as for the companies to show us their vehicles. Can we ask the driver which vehicle he's going to be using and put that in here?
Well, it may be a little more difficult, only because when you get into the larger companies like Select Ride and that, they may not always have the same vehicle. Right. And because you've got so many vehicles within that fleet, okay, that may be more difficult. Also, it would probably require a completely separate form from what we're already using, because we don't require taxicab drivers to show us vehicle information of what vehicle that they're driving. And, you know, with these vehicles, you know, they can change what they're driving over time, whether it's a taxi cab or a limo.
So if a officer pulls over a Uber Lyft driver, I'm using them as an example because they're the only ones that we really have, that doesn't have the driver registration decal, they ask for the limousine certificate
of authority.
Can they also ask to see proper insurance for that vehicle?
Yes.
And that and the officer can identify whether or not that vehicle has livery insurance as opposed to personal vehicle insurance?
If they have their certificate of insurance, which they should have in the vehicle, it should say on their certificate of insurance. I'd have to...
Okay. So I think I'd like to get that clarification. All right, because anybody that's been pulled over by a police officer, they ask for your registration and insurance. And if that insurance doesn't cover the livery service, then I would think that we would have the ability to give a ticket for such transgression. Okay. All right, well, I think we're definitely going in the right direction. I noticed that we have a copy of the agreements with the City of Detroit, and I think staff had some meetings with other people that are having these kind of issues and discussions. Can you get a little summary of what was going on there?
We haven't had a meeting with Detroit or another community, but we have met with Uber and asked if where they stood in relation to agreement, some agreement like this, because this agreement with Detroit addresses some of the issues that this group has discussed, and we asked if an agreement like this was something they considered, you know, signing for our city, and they seemed to be willing to talk about that. So if during the time that, I don't know how much input we want to get on the ordinance or how much time we want to spend on it, but what this interim operating agreement does is establish some parameters during that working time. And that this would probably need some work as well, from my read of it. So those are the discussions that we've had.
Okay.
So I would say let's spend another 4 or 5 minutes on the ordinance. But insofar as the memo is concerned, I'm more a fan of having, well, perhaps both, but I don't want to not have an ordinance. I think the issue is larger than just Uber and Lyft. And also, we have no idea what the next Uber, the next Lyft might be. But with that said, a couple of things that I would ask. We do, Officer Atkins, you did mention that we don't ask for to know what vehicle each driver for taxes would be using, and that's true. But we do ask when we register companies or approve companies to see their vehicles. So I would ask that the ordinance be amended, and a lot, and what Rick presented to us actually being incorporated. I don't see a lot of teeth in this ordinance. I think having this really to help differentiate taxis from non-taxis or non-metered vehicles would be very helpful. In particular, I'd be looking to see if the limo has a roof light. I've seen a lot of roof lights that certainly were confusing after my meeting last night with Ms. Evans. You know, for folks that might be visually impaired, they see a top light, they think, taxi. Well, not necessarily. And again, with my own experience in seeing limos actually pick up off the street and talking to some drivers. I was without my car for about a week, a little over, and took advantage of a variety of different limo and cab companies. I'd say, just briefly, the service was exemplary, very professional, but the limo driver said, oh, yeah, of course, we pull over, we pick people up all the time, it's like we're a cab, but we can charge different rates. That has to stop. And I think that if we can add some teeth to this, that might be one method to help stop that. I would just say, insofar as what we've provided, I would also ask that so a non-meter vehicle for hire should not be permitted to wait at a taxi stand. It has to be at a buffer zone, too, maybe 20 feet, something to that effect, so, such that folks can't pretend. With that said, also, too, so I would like to see when we do have this registration, a picture of the vehicle, make that part of the approval process, make sure that perhaps inside, outside, or just outside, there's nothing obviously violating the ordinance. Also, too, I'm curious how we might address the situation where, for Select Ride, where there are a number of drivers and the vehicles could change, we're registering drivers here. The driver gets the decal.
Correct.
So we might have to have vehicle and driver registration such that, you know, a company, let's say Select Ride, just as an example, could have, you know, for each of their vehicles might have 100 drivers associated with that license.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question I have, too, is if someone gets pulled over for whatever reason, would the officer involved actually check to see, is this driver supposed to be driving this vehicle? Because if so, we need to create some... Okay.
We don't have a mechanism to be able to check that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's less of an issue. Yeah, definitely.
I'm not clear on some of what you're saying.
Sure.
That last point, or next to last point about... were you saying that what were you saying about the vehicle?
Sure. I'd like a picture included as part of the registration process of the vehicle or vehicles just to ensure that they're in compliance.
But we're not registering vehicles with this part.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. This is just registering drivers. Are you arguing that we should be registering limo vehicles as well? That gets
I guess I am. Yes. For the simple fact, even if we're registering drivers, they need to have a vehicle or vehicles to drive. And we're fixing a decal to a vehicle. So I think if we're going to be affixing a decal to a vehicle, the vehicle that's having the decal affixed to should meet certain standards. So,
well, so we had anticipated the decal, remind me, I remember talking about this.
Would be something that could be moved from vehicle to vehicle.
Sort of hang tag.
Because as a limo service, we don't have a limo ordinance.
Right.
Taxi ordinance. The taxi ordinance, we actually do both for the quality of the vehicle and all that stuff. On the limo side, we were focusing on the driver of the vehicle. And as a limo driver, they can drive whatever vehicle they chose to. If they're registered with the city picking up and in the city, and they have that decal that they're a registered driver with the city, if someone's picking up and they don't have that decal, that's an issue for us, regardless of the vehicle they're in. And that's the issue we were focusing on, more so than whether the vehicle itself met, like, standards.
Yeah, I think we had that discussion because if there's no reason to duplicate the state law. All right, if the vehicle already has to be, as a limo, be registered with the state or licensed by the state, then we'll just piggyback on that. I think it gets a little cumbersome. But yeah, that I understand the kind of confusion is that if that driver is switching vehicles and the registered driver decal is in one vehicle and it stays in that vehicle, but that driver goes to another vehicle is using somebody else's registered decal, I mean, that probably creates some confusion and abuse. So it seems that it needs to be some sort of, like you said, a hang tag or something that goes with the driver. Right? That's their license. That's their registration. It goes with them, whatever vehicle they're in. And if they're driving their personal vehicle, then we have issues if they get pulled over without having proper insurance and
feasible though for the police. I mean, the one nice thing I like about the taxi decal is it's on the outside. It's very easy to see, especially if you're behind it. Your lights will reflect off it. It's a no-brainer in some sense. Whereas, certainly in the darker hours, trying to look inside a vehicle.
Well, we were talking about maybe not necessarily so much a hang tag, but something in the back window. Something that we have to research a little bit more, but something that can be put in the back window that's a little bit more visible for the police officers to be able to identify that the vehicle driver is registered.
One concern I've had there would be a number of limos I've seen have artwork on their rear windshield advertising, whatever it might be. So I'm not sure if that would be a universally workable solution at this point either.
So what about one of those little like sports flags? You put it in their window. All right. And then we would issue it.
It's 40 bucks.
You know how, you know, like Red Wings and, you know, you put
oh,
it
the
hang inside the window and it goes flapping by.
That certainly would make them identifiable.
I mean, if they're putting pink mustaches on their cars, I'm sure they wouldn't mind something that says, you know, Ann Arbor livery driver.
So.
Yeah. So there's
magnetic
there's certainly
tags are
yeah.
vehicle to vehicle.
Yeah.
It's on the outside.
Well, the only thing the issue I have with magnetic tags is that then we'll get reports of them being stolen or falling off and
right.
So
right. Okay. So we have to work out that logistics.
So like before we move on, I guess from the board, Rob, you have another percent on this. Is there anything you want to add?
I don't have a tremendous amount, I guess. You've talked at least a lot about more teeth for actual vehicle stuff. I think I agree with Steve that I don't think we really can or should be doing that, given that that's the state level. You look at the Detroit stuff with Uber and Lyft, and they can do that because I think they have the one exception to the rule. We're certainly not a city of adequate size, though. So I think in terms of driver regulation, this is great.
Just to clarify that, we can regulate levels.
Can we?
Yes, we can. We can create levels. There's no issue with that.
Well, in essence, we're not regulating the limo itself, the vehicle, you're
the
right, but limo drivers, yes, because they come under non-metered vehicles.
Yeah. But East Lansing has gone to regulating limos along with taxis, and it's been upheld in court.
Oh, do we have a draft of their ordinance or a copy of
the ordinance? Interested in seeing that next meeting.
You asked earlier who we met with. I haven't met.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I read the opinion. I mean, basically, it's that their definition of taxi cab, a limo meets their definition of taxi cab. And in a sense, I think that's what we would be doing here, is we would just be adding that a limo is also comes under the ordinance. That's the way I read it. But
okay. Could we then...
We're not necessarily advocating that.
So what? Do give us a little summary of what your East Lansing is doing.
Right soon after the last meeting, they are. You may have to help me. I think their largest effort is looking into regionalizing the management of their taxis. Like right now, it's an East Lansing thing and a Lansing thing. And I think they're looking at having a bigger regulatory oversight, regional review. That's, I would say, a major effort of theirs. They share the same concerns we do about the safety of the passengers, particularly in these college communities where there are peak times of high inebriated customers.
And what are they doing to address Uber and Lyft? Or they Uber and Lyft, as far as I understand, may not be in their community yet.
It wasn't there yet.
They're not actually there, but I believe they are aware that they're coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, yeah, if we can get a copy of what they have of their ordinance, that would be useful to help model ours after.
And if they do any, I know we probably don't want to go there, but I'd be curious to see in particular there what they do for limo, the vehicles, to what extent, if anything, they not necessarily duplicate, but... Right. Try to enforce. With that said,
I would point out that their industry is different than ours. Their community is different, and their industry is different. I'm not quite sure we would come to the same solution as them necessarily.
I think it'd be useful to see just for information purposes.
Absolutely.
And just anything happening through our legislative efforts. With Kirk Prophet.
On the prior thing? No. I am not aware of
any movement.
Okay. So with that said, I guess we'll add a motion to ask staff to amend this proposal based on board discussion. That would be helpful.
All right. We'll make such a motion. Motion for staff to amend this draft based on discussion.
A second,
please.
Yeah, so let me make sure I got these elements. I didn't take them until well. So I've got the comments about the buffer zone around certain areas that are in the information provided to us.
Yep.
The roof light, which I actually think is already covered in the ordinance.
It just says it can't be held out to be a taxi cab. There's still a lot of limo companies that will have like their phone number up there, or we'll say limo or okay. something like that. There's okay. still a number of limo companies out there with roof lights, but they don't say taxi. They're not holding themselves out to be a taxi. Okay. It's not necessarily in conflict with our client.
Okay. So is it all of his comments that you're interested in?
Yeah, I don't mind putting it all in because we can take it out once exactly. we have okay. The first first reading.
Get here.
All right.
So I'd rather have everything in and then we can cut whatever we want.
You had some other notes, I thought.
Oh, the non-medical, non-emergency medical transport exemption. And I had one other. The thought of, at some point in the process, a picture of the vehicle or vehicles that might be used, although that might be a challenge. So I think if we include this is insofar as the repair roof light and all that, that would appease my concern there, and that it would be on the enforcement side, not the registration side, and that's fine.
And remind me, Kristen, the insurance requirement, as I was glancing through this draft, that the insurance for the limos is already in here, right? That they have to get a limo license, you've got to have the insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's covered with the state.
Right, but you would want, and that again, I don't remember if it's in here, but you would want them to show as part of registration that they have the certificate of authority.
Okay, and then we'd want to, if we're not clear, we would be clear.
Again, you're running into an issue of regulating vehicles. This is about drivers, not vehicles.
Yeah, the driver would have to, for the limo license, the driver has commercial insurance.
That goes with the vehicle, not the driver.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so then I'm not sure we have clarity on what we want to do with the insurance of the driver.
Correct.
That's an open issue.
I think my questions were more geared towards we can enforce. Okay, if a driver, a vehicle for hire, is not, clearly if somebody comes in and registers as a livery driver and then drives a vehicle that is their personal vehicle, they're probably going to get away with it a little bit because we're going to at least see that they're registered as a driver.
Mm-hmm.
But we can only get so far. But if they're not registered as a driver or a livery driver and they get pulled over and they don't have the proper insurance, then they're going to get hit with a couple different tickets.
Correct.
But the state doesn't have anything about a licensed limo driver actually operating with commercial insurance vehicle.
No, it's all about...
That's interesting.
That's all that, all of those regulations surround the vehicle, not the driver.
So you can put any driver in a vehicle.
That's something for us to consider
okay.
with the state legislation because it doesn't make sense to have a licensed driver be able to operate a non-commercial licensed vehicle.
Right. So we need to do some homework, I think, to get further clarity on
this. Okay. So we have a motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And again, we'll thank staff for their work on this. We'll look forward to more. I know you have to run.
Oh, yeah.
But fantastically enough, for administrative comments, if you want to.
No.
All right. We now move into our second and final public commentary for the meeting. Would anyone like to address the tax cap board this time?
I've got a couple of issues, and I'm going to be just very brief, okay? I know I'm a limo company. I know this is a taxi board. I understand the difference, and I know that, okay? But the thing is, on this thing that Rick, I don't agree with this for a couple of reasons. If you guys need to look at the Limo Act, I don't know how many people have read it. Actually, read it from top to bottom. I have. There's some language in there that I've talked to state representatives from the state, MDOT, Michelle Weber, her boss, George Stanton, and a couple others over at the state. And I know that if there's not 750,000 people in a city limits, you can pick up, as it says here, You can pick right here. Like, you can cruise the streets, you can pick up, you can do whatever. It says, in the Limo Act in Section K, any means, circumstances, I can't think of the everything that's said, but it says in there that we can pick up, as long as there's not 750,000 people in the city. I know the city of Ann Arbor has 146,000 because I Googled it and I researched it, so they don't have that. But the city of Detroit has 800,000, so we cannot pick up in the city of Detroit at all because we will get a $500 ticket. But in the city of Ann Arbor, it says right in there, if the city does not have 750,000 people in the city, we can pick up and drop off anywhere in the city. Now, I do agree with the whole limo decal thing, but I got an idea for you guys. Why not get a decal and have a serial number on the decal? That way the officer can look up the serial number of the decal, and you guys have the computers in the police officer's car, right? They can look it up in the serial decal, and then all their information just comes right up on there. And what we have to, even though we have to send a packet into the state, we also have to send a packet into the city as well when we register vehicles. Register vehicles, our limo, our inspections, our insurance, our everything into one in a picture of our cab, which I agree with. Why don't we do that, send it into the city? The city gives us a decal with a sticker on it. We put the sticker on, just like we do a limo sticker, with a serial number. So if the cop sees the serial number, and all the information comes right on the screen. I don't know if you guys have the ability to do that, but it's a great idea. And one more thing that I wanted to comment on is that you guys were talking about drivers and limos. When we give out, like, I have 5 cabs right now, okay? 5 limos. Don't say 5 limos, I'm sorry. Each limo has my own has insurance. I can have a roster of 10 drivers. I can put any one of those 10 drivers in any one of the limos, different limos. So it doesn't matter which limo I put them in. I can put them as long as it's insured, it's registered, the driver is approved through my insurance. We get a limo roster, they give us one. So that's all I have to say on that. I think it's a great idea about the serial number. I don't know if you guys can do that, but it was certainly, I mean, if you guys can look up our license plate numbers to see, you know, blah, 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 when they're tailing us or whatever, you know, I don't know how they all do that. Or if I hear stories, then I don't see why they can't do it with the limo sticker.
Thank you. Go ahead.
First, on the biggest problem with Uber and Lyft, you know, we don't have to do all the lifting with the city ordinance. They're running afoul of the state ordinance right now. It's not just a matter of writing tickets. The company said they're going to pay for them. It's posted as a misdemeanor. It's something that can have jail time. And they're in violation as soon as they put up the pink mustache or the dashboard light, because they're holding themselves out for hire on a public highway in Michigan. It's in the state law, and they could be yanked now. And so I'm not saying that all this other stuff shouldn't be looked at, but, it, you know, that's something we can do now. And enforcement of that for local officials is actually, excuse me, a shall clause in the state law, which means they should be doing it. That was comment number one. Sorry about that. Comments number two on the rates, I would post maximums, and you're going to have some mechanism to allow for, and you were talking about it a little bit with tiers there, but you're going to have some mechanism for allowing discounts, which is going to get tricky with meter things. I don't have a perfect solution on that, but it's something that's come up before, because the things would only get inspected at one rate. You know, if you inspect at one rate and they have two, you don't know what's on the other rate. The language in the one part, take me about 2 seconds to find it, 7151, where it says 5 previously arranged to be transported. Again, that's not a distinction that's in law between limos and taxis. I know it's a common conception, but there's nothing that says that limos have to be prearranged. And by among other issues it'll get into, and I think it'll open up a can of worms of other things down the road, but among other things it gets into, it's effectively denying local customers any chance of a flat rate of pickup. There is no legal way to do a flat rate of pickup if that stays in there. Um, you know, the Detroit agreement you can look over. I think that they're not actually following state law on that. But I think that was really it. I think the biggest, you know, again, the biggest thing is, while it's good to be moving forward on the jurisdictions, things can be done against Uber and Lyft right now. If they're holding themselves out or they're making a pickup and they don't have a limo sticker and they don't have a taxi license, it is easy, it is visible, and it is doable.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
When you're talking about licensing limo drivers, would a taxi license suffice as a... If my driver's license as a, you know, a taxi cab driver, can he also be on the same license drive as a limo driver?
Public commentary, but we can certainly ask staff to.
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm asking. It's a question. Is it something that the board might address? That, you know, it's a, so an individual driver doesn't have to pay for a taxi license and a limo license because, you know, they basically do the same thing.
Briefly. Fortunately, Councilor, the committee here has talked about how the sticker on the vehicle may not be appropriate because you're actually trying to regulate the driver, not the car. I think a sticker on the vehicle misrepresents the car as being a legal entity when in fact, we have no proof of that until it's pulled over and whatnot. That was going to be my issue. I think it should be the driver. In essence, using a similar placard, if not like the taxi thing, that must be visible. I realize it doesn't help the police validate the vehicle as they're tailing somebody that's being held out for hire. So obviously that's being worked on as to how to be able to do that. Because I believe that there should also be an addition to this that states that when the driver is pulled over, that driver should be held responsible to validate the proof of vehicle certification and insurance as appropriate for holding themselves out for hire. I think there could be some teeth in saying it like that, even though we know that also. I do take issue with some of the things that were proposed, adding a buffer to the taxi stands and some of the proposals that Rick has pointed out here. Mr. Kunzelman, you actually appropriately used the correct term, livery driver. And we talk about ducks and things like that. Ducks are vehicles for hire, passengers for hire, livery drivers. We're being paid to drive people. Now, the business model, as I mentioned before, is like you're trying to regulate the cost of milk. Who makes their milk one way versus who makes their milk another way? The only thing the council really needs to be concerned about is the driver appropriately certified? Is the mechanism or the vehicle appropriately certified with the appropriate registration? Is this person and method safe? But regulating the milk with either the price or regulating how the milk is delivered, should Country Market's milk be placed 20 feet away from Bush's milk? Now you're talking business models, and when you're talking regulating business models, it smacks of collusion. You're favoring a taxi-style business model versus a flat rate, as John Hee just pointed out, versus potentially other business model. Is Uber and Lyft wrong with their business model because they're using an application that allows somebody to see a driver as they're coming along now and I want to ride now? Regulating business models is actually inappropriate for the council. What you should be regulating is the driver safe and is the vehicle safe?
Sorry.
Anything beyond that is really... You know, we're livery drivers. Let's start talking the duck.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
I'd like to piggyback on something he said about not putting a sticker in the window because then it's more regulating the car. I, as a rider, would like to see some proof that I'm getting in a car with a registered driver. I'd like to see outside the vehicle before I enter. This is a registered driver, and it's going to be more safe than getting in a car that somebody just pulled into town, put something on the side of their car, and said, I'm picking you up and going to charge you, but I'm going to take you way out in the hills and, you know, do something bad. So.
Seeing no one else looking to address the board, I would just ask for our next meeting. I'd like to see an update on the DDA signage for taxi cab stands. That's something we discussed a few months ago. It'd be nice to see an update there. Also, perhaps some feasibility. We could all silence our cell phones. That'd be helpful. We discussed, but never actually concluded the discussion, insofar as painting the taxi cab stand areas with the diagonal line or something to indicate, you know, to help in further indicate where they are. So something for next time. Also, too, the idea does intrigue me, although I'm not sure how it might work. It might be useful to look into the feasibility of either of recommending some sort of sensitivity training for drivers. I'm not sure how we would require that, but something, and I'm not sure if we want to, truthfully, but for the disability community to accommodate some of their needs. Anything, any final comment, words from the board? Seeing none, they have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Moved by Steve, seconded by Rob. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned.
Hey, I'm